Irina opened the door and frowned at me like I'd just pissed in her borscht. As usual, she wouldn't let me pass without stating my business. "Hi, I'm Jazz Bashara," I said. "We've met over 100 times. I'm here to see Trond at his invitation." She led me through the dining hall entrance. The smell of delicious food hung in the air. Something meaty, I thought. Roast beef? A rare delicacy when the nearest cow is 400,000 kilometers away. I peeked in to see Trond sip liquor from a tumbler. He wore his usual bathrobe and chatted with someone across the table. I couldn't see who. His daughter Lene sat next to him. She watched her father talk with rapt fascination. Most 16-year-olds hate their parents. I was a huge pain in the ass to my dad at that age. Nowadays, I'm just a general disappointment. But Lene looked up to Trond like he put the earth in the sky. She spotted me, then waved excitedly. "Jazz, hi!" Trond gestured me in. "Jazz, come in, come in. Have you met the administrator?" I walked in and, holy shit, Administrator Googie was there. She was just there, hanging out at the table. Fidelis Googie is, simply put, the reason Artemis exists. When she was Kenya's Minister of Finance, she created the country's entire space industry from scratch. Kenya had one, and only one, natural resource to offer space companies: the equator. Spacecraft launched from the equator could take full advantage of Earth's rotation to save fuel. But Googie realized they could offer something more: policy. Western nations drowned commercial space companies in red tape. Googie said, "Fuck that. How about we don't?" I'm paraphrasing here. God only knows how she convinced 50 corporations from 34 countries to dump billions of dollars into creating KSC. But she did it. And she made sure Kenya enacted special tax breaks and laws just for the new megacorporation. What's that, you say? Favoring a single company with special laws isn't fair? Tell that to the East India Tea Company. This is global economics, not kindergarten. And wouldn't you know it, when KSC had to pick someone to run Artemis for them, they picked Fidelis Googie. That's how shit gets done. She pulled money out of nowhere, created a huge industry in her formerly third world country, and landed herself a job as ruler of the moon. She had run Artemis for over 20 years. "Bwah," I said eloquently. "Sha." "I know, right?" said Lene. Googie's traditional dooku headscarf counterpointed her modern Western style dress. She stood politely, walked toward me, and said, "Hello, dear." Her Swahili accented English rolled so smoothly off her tongue, I wanted to adopt her as my grandma right then and there. Jasmine, I stammered. "I'm Jasmine Bashara."
"I know," she said.
"What?"
She smiled. "We have met before. I hired your father to install an emergency air shelter in my home. He brought you along. That was back when the administrator's quarters were in Armstrong bubble."
Wow. I don't remember that at all.
"You were very young. Such an adorable little child, hanging on her father's every word. How is Amar these days?"
I blinked a couple of times. "Dad's fine, thanks. I don't see him much. He's got his shop and I've got my work."
"He is a good man, your father,"
she said.
"An honest businessman and a hard worker. One of the best welders in town as well. It's too bad you had a falling out."
"Wait, how did you know we..."
"Lene, it's been lovely to see you again. You're so grown up now."
"Thanks, Administrator,"
Lene beamed. "And Trond, thank you for a delicious meal," she said.
"Anytime, Administrator." Trond stood up. I couldn't believe he was in his bathrobe. He had dinner with the most important person on the moon, and he wore his bathrobe? Then he shook Googie's hands like they were equals or something. "Thanks for coming by." Irina showed up and led Googie away. Was there a hint of admiration in the grumpy old Russian's face? I guess even Irina had her limits. You can't hate everyone.
"Holy shit, dude,"
I said to Trond.
"Pretty cool, huh?"
Trond turned to his daughter.
"All right, pumpkin, time for you to skedaddle. Jess and I have business to discuss."
She groaned the way only teenage girls can.
You always send me away when things get interesting. Don't be in such a hurry. You'll be a cutthroat business asshole soon enough. Just like my dad,
she smiled. She reached to the floor and picked up her crutches. They were the kind that gripped the upper arm. She got them both into position with ease and brought herself vertical. Her legs hung free. She kissed Trond on the cheek, then walked out on the crutches without her feet touching the ground. The car accident that killed her mother had paralyzed Lene for life. Trond had money coming out of his ass, but nothing could buy back his daughter's ability to walk. Or could it? On Earth, Lene was confined to a wheelchair, but on the moon, she could easily move around on crutches. So he hired VPs to manage most of his companies and relocated to Artemis. And just like that, Lene Lonvik could walk again.
Bye, Jess,
she said on her way out. Bye, kiddo. Trond swirled his drink.
Half a seat.
The dining table was huge, so I picked a chair a couple of spaces away from Trond. What's in the glass?
Scotch. Want some?
Maybe a taste, I said. He slid the glass across to me. I took a sip.
Oh, yeah, I said. That's better. Didn't know you were a Scotch gal, he said.
Not normally, but I had an awful approximation of it earlier today, so I needed a reminder of what it's supposed to be like. I offered the tumbler back.
Keep it.
He went to the liquor credenza, poured a second glass, and returned to his seat. So why was the administrator here? I asked. He put his feet up on the table and leaned back in his chair.
I'm hoping to buy Sanchez aluminum, and I wanted her blessing. She's fine with it.
Why would you want an aluminum company?
Because I like building businesses, he preened theatrically. It's my thing.
But aluminum? I mean, isn't that sort of bleh? I get the impression it's struggling as an industry.
It is, said Trond. Not like the old days when aluminum was king. Each bubble required 40,000 tons of aluminum to build, but now the population has plateaued and we're not making new bubbles anymore. Frankly, they would have gone out of business long ago if it weren't for their aluminum monopropellant fuel production, and even that barely turns a profit.
Seems like you missed the gravy train. Why get in now?
I think I can make it hugely profitable again.
How?
None of your business.
I held up my hands. Jeez, touchy. Fine, you want to make aluminum. Why not start your own company? He snorted.
If only it were that easy. It's impossible to compete with Sanchez. Literally impossible. What do you know about aluminum production?
Pretty much nothing, I said. I settled back in my chair. Trond seemed chatty tonight. Best to let him get it out of his system. And hey, as long as he talked, I got good booze.
First, they collect anorthite ore. That's easy. All they have to do is pick up the right rocks. They have automated harvesters running day and night. Then they smelt the ore with a chemical and electrolysis process that takes a shitload of electricity. And I do mean a shitload. Sanchez Aluminum uses 80% of the CD reactor's output.
80%? I'd never thought about it before, but 227-megawatt nuclear reactors was a bit much for a city of 2,000 people.
Yeah, but the interesting part is how they pay for it.
He pulled a rock from his pocket. It wasn't much to look at, just a gray, jagged lump like all the other lunar rocks I'd ever seen. He tossed it toward me.
Here, have some anorthite.
Yay, a rock. I plucked it out of the air as it approached. Thanks.
It's made of aluminum, oxygen, silicon, and calcium. Smelting separates it into those base elements. They sell the aluminum, that's the whole point. And they sell the silicon to glassmakers and the calcium to electricians for next to nothing, mainly to get rid of it. But there's one byproduct that's incredibly useful. Oxygen.
Yeah, and that's what we breathe, I know.
Yeah, but did you know Sanchez gets free power in exchange for that oxygen?
He had me there. Really?
Yep. It's a contract that goes back to the early days of Artemis. Sanchez makes our air, so Artemis gives Sanchez as much power as they want, completely free of charge.
They don't have to pay an electric bill. Ever.
As long as they keep making oxygen for the city. That's right. And power is the most expensive part of smelting. There's just no way I can compete. It's not fair.
Oh, poor billionaire, I said. Maybe you should have some moors installed so you can pine on them.
Yeah, rich people are evil, blah, blah, blah.
I emptied my glass. Thanks for the scotch. Why am I here? He cocked his head and looked at me. Was he carefully choosing his words? Tron never did that.
I hear you failed your EVA exam.
Ugh, I groaned. Does everyone in town know about that? Do you all meet up and talk about me when I'm not around or something?
It's a small town, Jazz. I keep my ear to the ground.
I slid my glass over to him. If we're going to talk about my failures, I'll want another scotch. He passed me his full glass.
I want to hire you, and I want to pay you a lot.
I perked up. Well, okay then. Why didn't you open with that? What do you need smuggled in? Something big? He leaned forward.
It's not smuggling. It's an entirely different enterprise. I don't know if it's even in your comfort zone. You've always been honest, at least with me. Do I have your word that this will stay between us, even if you turn down the job?
Of course. One thing I picked up from Dad, always keep your bargains. He worked within the law, and I didn't, but the principle was the same. People will trust a reliable criminal more readily than a shady businessman.
That Power for Oxygen deal is the only thing standing between me and the aluminum industry. If Sanchez stops supplying oxygen, they'll be in breach of contract. Then I'll step in and offer to take it over. Same deal, free oxygen for free power.
Where would you get the oxygen, I asked. You don't have a smelter.
No rule says it has to be smelted. The city doesn't give a shit where the oxygen comes from so long as it comes.
He steepled his fingers.
For the last 4 months, I've been collecting oxygen and storing it away. I have enough to supply the entire city's needs for over a year.
I raised an eyebrow. You can't just take city air and keep it. That's monumentally illegal. He waved his hand dismissively.
Please, I'm not an idiot. I bought the oxygen fair and square. I have standing contracts with Sanchez for regular deliveries.
You're buying oxygen from Sanchez so you can take over the oxygen contract from Sanchez? He smirked.
They make so much oxygen, the entire city doesn't breathe it fast enough. They sell it cheap to anyone who wants it. I bought it slowly, over time, through various shelled businesses so no one would know I'm hoarding.
I pinched my chin. Oxygen is pretty much the definition of flammable. How'd you get the city to let you store so much?
I didn't. I bought huge holding tanks outside Armstrong Bubble. They're in the triangle formed by the connector tunnels of Armstrong, Bean, and Shepherd. Totally safe from idiot tourists, and if anything goes wrong, they'll just leak into the vacuum. They're connected to life support systems, but they're separated by a physical valve outside. No harm can come to the city.
Huh. I spun my glass on the table. You want me to stop Sanchez's oxygen production?
Yes, I do.
He stood from his chair and walked over to the liquor credenza. This time, he selected a bottle of rum.
The city will want a fast resolution, and I'll get the contract. Once that happens, I won't even have to build my own smelter. Sanchez will see the futility of trying to make aluminum without free power, and they'll let me buy them outright.
He poured himself a fresh drink and returned to the table. There he opened a panel to reveal a bunch of controls. The room lights faded and a projection screen came to life on the far wall. Are you a supervillain or something? I gestured to the screen. I mean, come on.
Like it? I just had it installed.
The screen showed a satellite picture of our local area and Mare Tranquillitatis. Artemis was a tiny blob of circles brilliantly illuminated by sunlight.
We're in the lowlands, Tron said. There's plenty of olivine and ilmenite around. Those are great for making iron. But if you want aluminum, you need anorthite. It's rare around here, but the highlands are littered with it. So Sanchez's harvesters operate in the Moltke foothills, 3 kilometers south of here.
He turned on his gizmo's laser pointer and pointed to a region south of the city.
The harvesters are almost completely autonomous. They only call home for instructions if they get stuck or can't figure out what to do next. They're an essential part of the company's operations. They're all in one place, and they're completely unguarded.
Okay, I said. I see where this is going.
Yeah,
he said.
I want you to sabotage those harvesters. Take them all out at once, and make sure they can't be repaired. It'll take Sanchez at least a month to get replacements shipped here from Earth. During that time, they'll get no new anorthite. No anorthite means no oxygen production. No oxygen production means I win.
I folded my arms. I don't know if this works for me, Trond. Sanchez has like 100 employees, right? I don't want to put people out of their jobs.
Don't worry about that, Trond said. I want to buy the company, not ruin it. Everyone will keep their jobs.
Okay, but I don't know anything about harvesters. His fingers flew over the controls and the display changed to a picture of a harvester. It looked like something from a catalog.
The harvesters are Toyota Tsukurumas. I have 4 of them in my warehouse, ready for use.
Whoa, okay. Something the size of a harvester would have to be shipped in chunks and assembled here. Plus, it would have to be done in secret so no one asked awkward questions like, "Say, Trond, why is your company assembling harvesters?" He'd had his people on this for a long time. He must have seen the gears turning in my head.
Yeah, I've been working on this for a while. Anyway, you're welcome to examine my harvesters for as long as you want. All in secrecy, of course.
I got out of my chair and walked up to the screen. Man, that harvester was a beast. So it's my problem to find a weakness in these things? I'm not an engineer.
They're automated vehicles without any security features at all. You're clever. I'm sure you'll come up with something.
Okay, but what happens if I get caught?
Jess who?
He said theatrically.
The delivery girl? I barely know her. Why would she do such a thing? I'm baffled.
I see how it is.
I'm just being honest. Part of the deal is your word that you won't drag me down if you get caught.
Why me? What makes you think I can even pull this off?
Jess, I'm a businessman, he said. My whole job is exploiting underutilized resources. And you are a massively underutilized resource.
He stood and walked to the credenza for another pour.
You could have been anything. Didn't want to be a welder? No problem. You could have been a scientist, an engineer, a politician, a business leader, anything. But you're a porter.
I scowled.
I'm not judging, he said. Just analyzing. You're really smart, and you want money. I need someone who's really smart, and I have money. Are you interested?
I took a moment to think. Was it even possible? I'd need access to an airlock. There are only 4 airlocks in the whole city, and you have to be a licensed EVA guild member to use them. Their control panels check your gizmo. Then there was a 3-kilometer trip to the Moltke foothills. How would I do that? Walk? And once I was there, what would I do? The harvesters would have cameras and film everything in a 360-degree arc for navigational purposes. How would I sabotage them without getting spotted? Also, I smelled bullshit in the air. Trond had been squirrely and evasive about his reasons for getting into aluminum. But it was my ass on the line if something went wrong, not his. And if I got caught, I'd get exiled to Earth. I probably couldn't stand up on Earth, let alone live there. I'd been in lunar gravity since I was 6. No. I was a smuggler, not a saboteur. And something smelled off about the whole thing. I'm sorry, but this isn't my thing, I said. You'll have to find someone else.
I'll give you 1,000,000 slugs.
Deal.
Yo, Kelvin!
What's new?
Haven't heard from you in a few days. Did you get into the chess club?
What kind of junior high chess club has entrance requirements anyway? Are they so impacted with applicants they have to turn some away? What, like they don't have enough chess boards? Only so many tables?
Limited number of pocket protectors?
My school is trying to put me in the gifted classes again. Dad totally wants me to go, but why should I? I'm probably just going to be a welder. I don't need differential calculus to stick pieces of metal together. Sigh. Hey, so what happened with Charisse? Did you ask her out? Or talk to her? Or indicate in any way that you exist? Or are you sticking with your brilliant plan to avoid her at all costs?
Jez, sorry. I've been busy with extracurricular stuff lately. Yes, I got into the chess club. I played several games to establish my skill level and they rated me 11-4. That's not very good, but I'm studying and practicing to become better. I play against my computer every day, and now I'll get to play against people too. Why don't you join the gifted classes? Academic achievement is a great way to honor your parents, You should consider it. I'm sure your father would be very proud. My parents would love it if I could get into the advanced classes. But math is hard. I keep my grades up, but it's hard. I have resolve, though. I want to make rockets, and you can't do that without math. No, I haven't talked to Charisse. I'm sure she wouldn't be interested in a boy like me. Girls like boys who are big and strong and who beat up other boys. I'm none of those things. If I talked to her, I would just get humiliated.
Calvin, dude, I don't know where you're getting info about girls, but you're wrong. Girls like boys who are nice and make us laugh. We don't like boys who get in fights, and we don't like boys who are stupid. Trust me on this. I'm a girl. Dad has me helping out around the shop. I can solo the simpler jobs. He pays me, which is nice, but he stopped my allowance now that I have an income. So now I'm working for a little bit more than I was getting for free. Not sure I'm on board with that plan, but whatever. Dad's having problems with the Welders Guild. Around here, you can either be freelance or part of the guild. And the guild doesn't like freelancers. Dad doesn't have a problem with guilds as a rule, but he says the Welders Guild is mobbed up. I guess they're pretty much owned by Saudi organized crime. Why Saudi? I don't know. Almost all the welders here are Saudis. We're just the people who ended up controlling the welding industry. Anyway, the guild forces people to join with bullshit tactics, not like in movies where they threaten you or anything, just rumor mongering, floating stories that you're dishonest and you do shitty work, stuff like that. But Dad spent his whole life building a reputation. The fake rumors just bounce off. None of his customers believe them. Go Dad.
Jess, that's too bad about the Welders Guild. There are no unions or guilds at KSC. It's a special administrative zone, and the normal laws that help unions don't apply. KSC has a lot of power in the Kenyan government. There are many special laws for them. But KSC is a boon to all of us, and they deserve special treatment. Without them, we would be poor, like other African countries. Have you ever considered moving to Earth? I'm sure you could become a scientist or an engineer and make a lot of money. You're a citizen of Saudi Arabia, right? They have lots of big corporations there. Lots of jobs for smart people.
Calvin. Nah, I don't want to live on Earth. I'm a moon gal. Besides, it would be a huge medical hassle. I've been here more than half my life, so my body is used to 1/6 of your gravity. Before I could go to Earth, I'd have to do a bunch of exercise and take special pills to stimulate muscle and bone growth, and I'd have to spend hours every day in a centrifuge. Blech. No thanks. Talk to Charisse, you chicken shit.